Well, good morning. I got to see all your shiny faces from behind the piano, but now I get to teach a little bit. How fun is that? I have a quick question. This is just kind of in my brain. I want to go through it. How many of you have been Christians for a long, long, long time? Now lift your hands. Be bold. Be bold. Super sweet. Okay, how many of you, this is kind of new, like you're in on this journey, or maybe this is first experience, but maybe this is kind of a sort of new to me thing, right? Like sometimes new can last a long time. I remember when my guitar got scratched the first time and it was like 5 years old because it was my new guitar, right? New is sometimes. But today I want to speak a little bit on a foundational truth, something at when you're building a house, it's right on the bottom. One of the core things that we are called to do and learn as a believer. And this truth here will set everything else in your life in order. So this is incredibly important stuff. So those of you who have been here a long time, have been believers a long time, this is something that maybe you don't know the terms and the exact way I'm presenting it, but you'll clue in, you'll be like, oh yeah, this is totally something I've heard 1,000 times. And if you're new to this, you'll probably be like, oh, I thought this was like salvation. Yeah, this is my first step, my next step. So I want to talk to you about the principle of firsts. The principle of firsts. Let's start here. A complete sentence, if you remember back to high school, a complete sentence must both have a subject and a verb that agree. The Bible itself is not much different. Our God is its subject, and giving is its verb. Does that make sense? We also know from 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So if the sentence is God is love, what does he give? He gives love. So the Bible in a sentence might read this. It might read, God gives love. If you were to explain the Bible to anyone, you would say, God gives love. The sentence right there, that simple one, reminds us of one that we've probably all learned before. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So how did God give? Well, how did he love? Was it just sort of this, yeah, I guess I could kind of love? No. He didn't sort of love. He so loved. Because he so loved, he didn't just give anything. He gave Jesus. So when God gave life to the universe, he spared nothing. And I think of all the incredible gifts, right? Like if you've ever climbed a mountain or you've stood on the beach and looked at the great distance in front of you, you get beautiful sunsets or mountain peaks and deep blue oceans. Chat about this today.
We will. Our debt is paid.
I'm going to save that for the last half. Okay. So we're talking about God is love. Think of the way that the plants give oxygen, or maybe a mother gives birth, or water gives life to everything. In fact, every living thing in some way is a giving thing. Why? Why? Because the breath that spoke life is laced with generosity. So our God invented giving. God so loved that he gave. When through sin we brought on physical and spiritual death, God once again found a creative way to give life. And this time he gave his only son's innocent life in place of our deserved death. The most generous gift of all. And then before Jesus ascended, he promised the coming of an encourager called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brought with him powerful gifts for his followers and in order to build the church and make the story of Jesus known. So giving, it's in God's history. It's of his heart. It's by his hand to build his household. So when you and I give, when we act like him and we lend to his work. Think about this in life. You get nothing done without giving. You can't. We give our time and our effort to our employers, to our families, to our spouse. We give words of affection to our relationships. We give food to our pets. And we give money to things that we believe in. Wow. Giving, though, giving is always a choice. If we choose not to give in all of these situations, then each of these situations ceases to exist. So every day you get to wake up and you get to choose. You get to choose what you'll give to. And the collection of these daily choices makes up our lives. When we gave our lives to serve Christ, then we gave our choices to serve him. So why would we choose giving? And I think it's because God is the greatest giver of all time. He paid our permanent debt by sending Jesus to die for his sins with this irrational generosity. And this word, tithing and offerings and giving to God, is one area of our faith where God gave us permission to test him. You can read about it in Malachi 3:10. So we choose to give our first and our best to God, then we're becoming more like him. This is a way that we can give to God. So today I want to talk to you about the principle of firsts. Now, do you know what a principle is? Let me give you another word for it that we use all the time, a law. But I'm not talking like a law in a book. I'm talking about something that is always true no matter what, a principle. So we all know about the law of gravity. If you take something and you let go of it, it's going to fall. That is the law of gravity. And whether you or not you feel like believing in it, whether or not it's something you agree with, that truth, that principle, is always there. No matter what, gravity still has a pull. But today I want to talk to you about the principle of firsts, a law that God wrote in, of things that have a always consistent, whether or not you believe in it. If you could turn your Bibles with me, or look on your phone, I'm going to be reading through Exodus 13. Most of the time. We're going to jump around a bit. But Exodus 13. Now, the principle of firsts is a principle that runs all the way through Scripture. Right? It's something that God has always done, will always have for us. It's a law like gravity, always true. And if God is first in your life, then everything else can come into order. And if God is not first in your life, then nothing else comes into the proper order. And when I say everything comes into order, I don't mean like you're not going to have any problems or troubles or horrible circumstances. Jesus says, this is his quote, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But then he continued it, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So when everything comes into order, the things will line up in the way that God wants them to, and he will walk you through them. He will walk you through whatever situation or circumstance that you're in, because God is in charge and in control of your life if you put him first. So today I have 3 points for you. We're going to talk about 3 different things, and I want to take them from a couple of scriptures in Exodus chapter 13. So Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. Here we go. Now I know this is the Old Testament, and it's kind of Old Testament-y in its language, but just stay with me. 1 Corinthians 10 says everything in the Old Testament was written for our instruction as an example to us. So we're going to look at this instruction and take it as an example for us. So Exodus 13, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate or consecrate, depending on your translation. That's a big word that means set aside, set apart.
So dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born, both of humans and animals, belongs to me. Kind of interesting. I wish I could tell you how strong this is in the Hebrew. Like the English language, it struggles with intensity because we get intense with our tone of voice, not so much with our words. So I want to, this is exactly what that verse means. God is saying that it is mine. It's my property. It belongs to me. There is no one else that owns this. I am the sole owner of the firstborn. The firstborn belongs to God. Okay, then verse 12 of Exodus 13. Verse 13, it says, you must present all firstborn. Again, that's the same word. It's consecrate or make holy. Present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to him. Wow, they are God's. Now, the next verse, again, it's a little bit Old Testament-y, but this morning I'll walk us through it. Verse 13. A firstborn donkey may be bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. Kind of strange. I think God is saying here, you're going to lose it either way, if you choose to give it away or you don't. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. So if you don't redeem it, you will lose it. Okay, does this kind of sound weird for you? Like, this is Sunday morning, I want to hear about God's love for me. Give me some instructions on like how to take care of my neighbor. Right? This is kind of weird stuff. We're talking about donkeys getting released and lambs getting killed and kind of strange stuff. So I have two points that I want to pull out of these verses. And if you're taking notes, if you're a note writer, then write these down. These are important points. If you are not a note writer, you should write these down. Like these are that important. These are foundational truths. Here's number one. We read it. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. That's just what we read. It's a law in the Old Testament. And we live in the New Testament. We know we're not under the law. We are now under grace. But there are principles in these laws. This principle of the first, that's what we're trying to figure out this morning. What are the principles in the Ten Commandments? Anybody? If you were to read the Ten Commandments, summarize them together, these principles behind the Ten Commandments is, how do you live better together? Really, how do you love one another? How do you love God and love one another? Sound familiar? Jesus took the principles out of the Ten Commandments instead of listing all 10 of them and said, love God, love one another. Well, that's what we're going to do with this, and the donkey released, and the lamb slain. We're going to pull out this principle of the firsts. This principle starts in Revelation, or in Genesis, and goes all the way to the book of Revelation. And it starts with the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. So, if you have a firstborn, Josiah, this should be great for you. Tim has some duty to take care of. Your firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. How do you know whether or not to sacrifice it or redeem it? Right, Tim has a choice for his oldest son. Do I sacrifice him or redeem him? Well, in this passage, it gives us two classifications of animals. A clean animal and an unclean animal. A lamb, it represents a clean animal, and a donkey represents an unclean animal. So if your firstborn is a clean animal, you have to sacrifice it. And if it comes from an unclean animal, you have to redeem it with the sacrifice of a clean animal. So I'm going to say that one more time, because again, this sounds confusing because we're talking about strange things. A clean firstborn must be sacrificed. An unclean firstborn must be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean. Now, when I'm going through this, I can see that I'm losing some of you. You're thinking, I don't understand why this is important. Let me tell you why it's so important. This story of clean and unclean represents the story of Jesus and what Jesus Christ did for us. That ceremony of communion that we just walked through, that commission that he gave us to continue and remember. It's this story of clean and unclean, redeemed and sacrificed. So let me put it into terms that as a new believer, you'll probably understand this. Because it represents what Jesus Christ did and what he's calling us to. So, let's say it this way. When you were born, right, we're born of this world, spiritually speaking, were you born clean or unclean? Any thoughts? Oh, Danny's got it. Anyone else? We were born unclean. Unclean, because we all have this sin nature. We naturally want to sin. If you look at a little kid, like follow Peter around, you'd be like, dude, you're not allowed to touch that. Dude, mom said don't do this. Why? Like, slow down. Like, we all know what toddlers are like in their tantrums. We are born unclean. Every parent knows that you don't have to teach your kids to be bad. It just comes naturally to them. So we have to teach them to be good. So you and I, all of us, all people, we were born unclean. So then I have a question about Jesus, since this is who we're focusing on. Was Jesus born unclean or clean? Clean. Yeah, that's the right answer. Good for you, you got Sunday school answers. This is because it's so foundational. This is something that we want to learn off the beginning because it sets everything else we do in life straight. And this is where it matters, because the clean had to be sacrificed so that the unclean could be redeemed. And it even goes further than that, because Jesus was God's firstborn, and he was sacrificed for our sin, and since we are redeemed, we're now clean because Jesus' blood covers us. And he's calling us, you and me, to be a living sacrifice, to go and redeem those who are still lost and unclean. Wow. This is the principle of firsts, that a clean redeems the unclean. And because Jesus cleaned us, we are now clean, and we get to go and bring that redemption to the world around us who is still living in sin. Now, eventually we're gonna talk about tithe, and we're gonna talk about Sai's amazing receipt here. But before you can understand tithing, before you can understand financial giving, before you can understand, you have to understand this principle of firsts. Because Jesus is first, God is first, he cannot be second. In everything, in everywhere, he cannot be second. So our story starts with the firstborn. Here's what the firstborn does. The firstborn redeems the rest. So if we're talking about a tithe, a tenth, God doesn't ask for the tenth born. Like, Tim, you got a lot of kids. God isn't being like, so would you count all of these kids and be like, Micah's kind of quiet. He's got some irritating traits to him. So maybe this would be the one that I should give to God. Right? No, that's not what God is asking for. He's not asking for you to look through all of the different things that you have and say, well, I'll give you something. No, God says he needs to be first. He cannot be second. So God asks that we would give our firstborn to him. See, God doesn't say, after you have 10 sheep, 10 lambs, you can pick the one you want. He says, give me the first one when you still don't have the other nine. It's a gift of faith, knowing that God, living in that hope that says he will come through, and in I give away the first, I will receive the other nine in due time with God's timing. This is the principle of firsts. So I can see you sitting there, especially in the front row, you're like, so what? Woohoo, I don't have kids yet. Like, what does this mean to me? I'm like, I'm not raising sheep. I don't have one that's like, so what? Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking. Keep that question in mind, because I want to slightly shift pages, and I want to talk a little bit about the difference between a tithe and an offering. So Tim came up here, and he's on the board, he's the secretary of a board, and he mentioned that our finances are struggling a little bit. And if you didn't know, all of the finances in the church are given, they are all donations from the wonderful members, the people who visit, all of the congregation, our church family. This operates, I get a salary, we pay the lights, Pastor Danny gets to go to conferences, all of these different things get paid for because of the donations of people. But there are some biblical boundaries that are set in this. And we have two names for them. We have a tithe and an offering. So if you ever got one of those offering envelopes, they're by the debit machine or they're hanging on the wall by the doors, and they say on them, and they got a little checkbox, is this that I'm giving a tithe or an offering? Since we're talking about the principles of first, I want to talk to you about the difference between a tithe and an offering. Because if we're practicing the principle of first with our money, then we need to know. Giving a tenth of what we receive first before anything else is called a tithe. 10%, it comes from that word. Tithe is an old Hebrew word, but it means 10%. And an offering is different. It's a gift given to God that's not from that first 10%. See, you give your tithe first, your 10%, before you pay the rest of your bills. And then you have an opportunity to give an offering, something over and above, something special that God calls you to. And the thing about tithing is that it actually has very little to do with money. Money is the symptom, the tool that's used for this principle of firsts. So tithing, well, it sounds weird that it's not much to do about money. Now, here's why. God doesn't need your money. Because he's God. Like, if God needed anything, he would just have that thing. Like, I that's even a bad sentence, because God can't need anything. He is anything that is need. I can't even explain it. God doesn't need your money because he is self-sufficient. And the church, like, do we need your money? No, not at all. Because we are God's, and he is in charge. And he will give us whatever we need by whatever means he feels like using. He did choose to use you, the congregation, and their donations. But I have seen many miracles happen that have nothing to do with that. See, if your church is just using scriptures to guilt you into giving, then they're not a very good church. But our church here, see, where I am, I want to, the board wants to. We want to look out for your heart. We want God to change your worldview and the way things are to be the way things that he has them to be. Because God wants your heart, not your wallet. If you're skeptical about this tithing thing, giving the first to God, I totally understand, because I've been there. But what I know is I've never felt closer to God than when I decided to trust him with my finances. When even my finances could barely fund my ramen noodles, I learned this concept. So don't buy the lie that the church just wants money from you, because I want to remind you, we are the church, and God wants generosity for you. Remember what Matthew 6:21 says. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. So as much as money is the tool we're talking about, we're really talking about a heart issue. Okay, well, on our list there, let me tell you something else the tithe represents, because a lot of people badmouth the tithe because they say, well, that's the Old Testament, right? The New Testament says you don't have to tithe. The Old Testament talks about tithing. Well, no, that's not at all true. Because this principle, again, is all throughout Scripture. Even Jesus himself, he said, This is a direct quote. It's in the red letters of the Bible. And I looked up like 8 different translations, and it even uses the same words. So I'm pretty certain if Jesus spoke English, these would be his exact words. Here's what it is, Matthew 23:23. You should tithe. Kind of straightforward. If you want to look it up later. Jesus said that you should tithe. And for me, the kind of personality that I am, that is enough right there. Okay, God, you said I should tithe. The first 10% I will give to you. I will be consistent on it. I will write myself a reminder. It will come out of my bank account. I will find someone else to delegate to do that task for me so it, no matter what, gets done. But some of you need a little deeper understanding. You're not wired like me, and I totally get it. So let me give you a little different perspective on tithe. Here's what it is. Principle of first. Jesus is God's tithe. Remember, Jesus is the firstborn. And God didn't wait for you to straighten up to give you Jesus. He didn't say, like, clean all the garbage out of your life, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop hanging out with those people, quit having sex, and then I will come and save you. No. God gave Jesus first. God gave Jesus when we were mocking him and spitting on him and nailing him to a cross. Read the verse, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I wonder how God feels about it when people speak negatively about the tithe. And yet Jesus, God's firstborn, and we're going to see in a minute that he's the first fruits. He's God's tithe. God gives him first. Romans even says it. It says, in faith. Like, how can God in faith? Because he already knows the future, but God in faith. He gives Jesus in faith and hope that we will come to him. That's our Savior. That's why I say tithing and offering and money and finances is a heart issue. Okay, so number one, the firstborn must be sacrificed and redeemed. Does this concept kind of make sense now? Let's move to the second. Here's number two. The first fruits must be offered. Okay, David, I thought we were talking about, you know, sheep and donkeys and clean and unclean, and now we got some vegetables and fruits in this. Like, dude, can you be any more confusing? Maybe. Maybe. I could really muddle it up. But I hope by the end of this you can hear the truth. Proverbs 3:9-10. It says this: honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first part of everything you produce. Wow. So Tim produced Josiah, kind of the parenting thing. Right? If you're a farmer, you produce fruit from the ground. Not that you do it, but you plant the seeds and you get this stuff called produce, the produce section in the store. In verse 10 it says, he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Wow. Okay, Exodus 23:19 says, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. And he's really asking to make the first things first. First things first. The very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. So in these verses, I want you to notice two things. First, that the tithe comes to the house of God. The tithe comes to your local church, not to a university, not to a missionary, not to a great project. I encourage you to give to those things. I really do. Those are so important things. We've got magnets on our fridge of all the missionaries that we give to. Do those things. But those things are an offering. And they happen after the tithe. Because the tithe comes to the local storehouse, to the house of God, to your local church family. And then if you read in it, it says this. God wrote it. You must bring it. Again, these direct, clear words. Like, there's lots of gray areas in the Bible. Finances are not really a gray area. God says you must bring it, referring to the tithe. Let me tell you something about the tithe. God never uses the word giving. And I know we kind of muddle it up because we stick on the screen 4 different ways to give to the church. God never talks about tithe as giving. He always uses the word bring. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse. And here's why. You cannot bring some, or you cannot give something that you do not own. Well, I thought it was my money. You cannot bring something that you do not own. You have two choices with the tithe, according to Scripture. You can bring it in to the local church, or you can steal it from God. Those are your two choices. Only two. And you can look through all of Scripture. I've studied for 20 years, and I've tried hard to find another choice with your tithe. There isn't one. God said the person who doesn't tithe is stealing from. He's robbing me. And by the way, have you ever thought about what you're robbing him from? Because again, God doesn't need money. That's not what this is about. It's a heart issue. So what are you robbing from God? I'll tell you what you're robbing him from. You're robbing him from the opportunity to bless you. What? Well, maybe stories help this a little bit. When I was in college, one of the students asked one of the professors. I'm sitting in Bible class. I think it was a Dr. Feller class. He was like the straightest answer guy that ever existed. And this is the question that was brought up. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't accept Cain's? And this is where I first learned this truth about firstborn and how first fruits belong to God. So I want to read the story a little bit for you, and you can see it too. Genesis 4, verse 3 and 5. Here's what it says. In the process of time, now these words are very important, in the process of time, it's like it kind of came to pass. So one day this happened. Okay. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Like, awesome. Cain's a farmer. He grew some vegetables. Maybe he had some amazing BC fruits in his cherry tree. And he's like, God, I'm gonna give some of this to you. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now, notice in this verse, it doesn't say first fruits. It just says, in the process of time, an offering. Then in verse 4, it says, Abel, Cain's brother, also brought a gift to God, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. Did you see the difference there? Maybe it's not quite clear. Abel's a rancher. Right? He's got the sheep and the cattle and the donkeys and the camels. I don't know what all they raised back then. But Abel's a rancher, and he brings in the firstborn. And Cain's a farmer. Like, he's planting things in the ground, but of the things he planted, he didn't bring the first fruits. He gave whatever he wanted. And when he wanted to give it, there was no timing. It was just whenever he felt like it. And God said, I can only accept the first. Was God saying, dude, you're a loser? You gave me vegetables? I don't like vegetables. I want meat. No, that's not what he's saying. See, God could not accept the offering because it was not first. Did you know there are things that God can't do? We look at God and we're like, oh, you could do anything. Yes, when we understand the context of that. But there are things that God cannot do. And a lot of us, we struggle with understanding this. They say, well, God can do everything because he's God. But no, he can't, because he can't act outside of his will. He can't do something out of his character. Right? We all know that God cannot lie. Because if he lied, he wouldn't be God. God can't change, because God is perfect, and if he could get better, then he wouldn't be perfect, so God can't change. He's already the best. But here's another thing that God can never do. God can never be second. He was here before creation. He's the first of all. He's above all. He's higher than all. He's first. So the reason that he couldn't accept Cain's offering was because it wasn't first. But if you remember our first slide, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The second one is first fruits must be offered, like we just saw in the story that I was told in Bible college. So let's take this back to the kids coming forward with the little brown baskets and we get to put money in them or meeting at the debit machine. Let's talk about the money side of this. Our tithe must be first. And the reason is because it belongs to God. And we are just returning it. We're not giving it, we're returning it. Let me read you this scripture, Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. That's the same language as Exodus 13, if you remember. It belongs to God. It's his property. It's holy. Again, that same word, that's set apart. Let me give you a math illustration. Some of us think different ways. I'm analytical, so math is doing good with me. Let me show you how giving to God works. It won't take long if you're already intimidated. Let's say you have a landscaping company. Make an easy example. Lisa and I asked you to come over. Hey, would you finish the gravel patio in our backyard? And you're like, well, okay, Pastor David, this would be my materials, and then this would be my labor to put it all in and paying the guys, and so my profit would be about $1,000 when I'm done. Great. We have to make a profit, obviously, when we run our business, and that is the income from this job. And we would talk together and be like, is that price agreeable? And Lisa and I would be like, yeah, that sounds fair. Your supplies, your labor, and a little bit of profit. So you do the job, and I'll pay all of your labor, and I'll pay all of your materials and expenses, and then I will give you the $1,000, the $100 bills for that income from doing that job. Now, because you don't tithe on materials and the labor that you pay out to your guys, that's not part of your income. We just tithe on our increase. So your income in this situation is $10, $100 bills. You've got $1,000 in your hand, and here's the math part. If a tithe is 10%, how much of that $1,000 is the tithe? Anybody? This is hard math, I know. Teenagers, you're still in school. Wow, $100, okay, $100. You've got $1,000, so $100 is the tithe. But let me ask this next question, because it gets a little more confusing. Of those 10 $100 bills that I gave you to do the landscaping in my yard, which one of those 10 $100 bills is the one that you're to give to the tithe?
First one.
Oh, you got this concept already. The first one. What's it matter which one I give? Remember the principle of the first one. How do you know which one is the first one? Like, I could shuffle them all together and they'd be like, ha ha ha, you don't know the first one. The first $100 bill is the first one that leaves your hand. Let me give you another example. If you go home and you say, I'm gonna set aside some money for the utilities and some money for the mortgage and some money for the groceries because we gotta eat and we're gonna put gas in the car and the house needs insurance and oh look, there's not enough left over for God. I don't mean this sarcastically, but he wouldn't accept it anyways if you gave it to him at the end. Like if you divvied out the mortgage and the payments and the bills and the utilities and the Christmas presents and you're like, woohoo, we're doing good financially, I got an extra $100, and you gave it to God, he'd be like, I can't accept it. I can't accept that. He even says it in the book of Malachi. He says, you bring me lame animals, blind and maimed. I do not accept them. He doesn't accept the leftover offering. He didn't accept Cain's. See, In our example, we gave to the utility company. We gave to the mortgage. And I can tell you something. The utility company, the bank, the mortgage, they don't have the power to bless your finances. They're takers. They're not givers. But God does. So you take those $10, $100 bills, the profit from your landscaping work, and you give the first one to God. And you say, God, I've got a stack of these bills here, but I'm going to give to you the first. And church, I want you to understand this. 90% with God's blessing will go further than 100% without. And some of you say, well, I've been tithing for years, but I never thought about it this way. Awesome, now you can. Give to God first. Now, I don't want to be legalistic about this. If you're like, dude, is all about the rules. Like, I thought you started with Jesus' love. God loves you, and now we've got all these rules? No. Remember, it's not about the money. It's not about the rule. It's about the heart. It's about your heart. Let me put it into real life. Say, I get paid on the 15th and the 30th of the month. And so what I do with my quiet time in the morning on the 15th and the 30th is I go online and I send my tithe to the church. No. I mean, that doesn't happen in my family. I would love that. That would be a great habit. But when I get paid, it's the bank does some automatic withdrawal thing, and it automatically goes into my bank account. And I've got an amazing wife who does all our finances at home, and she pays whatever the things come in when they pay. I don't really have a connection with it. God told me years ago, I'm gonna pause from this. He asked me to start saying this when I teach on this. Lisa and I actually give more than 10%. We felt God say, if you're gonna teach on tithing, then you're going to give over and above. And We're not bragging. Please don't take it as that. I want this, to say this humbly. I'm just telling you because God is calling some of you to tithe more, to bring back more, because God has blessed you with more than you need. And that's the only reason I say it. So we tithe to the local church, and we give over and above that. And I do that every time I get a paycheck. So back to my story, my aside. What if I get busy in the morning and I mean, I forget about my quiet time because, you know, I got an emergency phone call or something, and I've got an early morning appointment somewhere, and I forget that it's the 15th because I didn't look at the date on the calendar, and I think, oh man, it's lunchtime, it's on the 15th, and I go online and I'm like, Lisa already paid the mortgage that comes biweekly. Like, God didn't get my first fruits because the mortgage company got paid before I had a chance to get into the bank account and move it over to where it belongs. And I don't phone her up and I'm like, what have you done, woman? You're like, you gave part of the tithe to No Frills and now we're cursed. It doesn't work that way because God's not legalistic. He wants my heart. Are you following me? I give first to God. It's a priority. It's the most important. I will make sure it gets done. But don't be legalistic. Be principled about it. Yeah, let me tell you the last thing before we close. One more thing out of Exodus 13 where we started. And then we can finish. We stopped a while ago at verse 13. So let's read verse 14 to 16. This is my favorite part of the whole principle of verse. And this is what I surround my life with. If there was a verse for your life, you know how important people always have. This is my life verse. This would be, I know it's not one verse. This would be my life verse. This is what I surround my life by. Remember, we're not talking about money. We're talking about firsts. Okay, verse 14 to 16. And in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? Then you will tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, so the Lord killed all of the firstborn males through the land of Egypt, both people and animals. And this is why I now sacrifice all the firstborn males to the Lord. Except for the firstborn sons, they are always bought back. Good news, hey Josiah. This ceremony will be like a mark branded on your hand or your forehead. It's a reminder that the power of the Lord's mighty hand brought us out of Egypt. Wow. Now this passage was written about 4,000 years ago. So, no, I didn't come from Egypt. I'm not 4,000 years old. Good looking, but didn't age that well. Let's move it into today's context. When you're sitting at your computer, you're on the bank webpage, and your 8-year-old son looks over your shoulder and he says, "Whoa, Dad, how much money do you give to the church? Like, why are you giving so much money?" Because 8-year-olds, 20 bucks is a lot of money. And there's a lot more zeros that I give than that 20. And I remember this scripture. Take your son in your lap and look him in the eyes. You give him this same response. "Son, there's something about your dad I want you to know. I wasn't always a Jesus follower. I wasn't always a Christian. I did a lot of bad things in my life. I couldn't stop being bad. I was a slave to sin. But God, with his mighty hand, God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, he has given us everything that we have. And so now I gladly give to God all the first of my increase." So, can we all bow our heads? Can we take this principle of firsts? And I want to pray. I want to seal it in our hearts. So bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to just ask the Lord in your heart, in your mind, not out loud, just in your heart, this simple question. Just ask him. Let him apply this message. God, what are you saying to me through all of this? Just ask the Lord that. What are you saying to me through this message? As your pastor, I want to encourage you to put God first in every area of your life, including your family. But in your family, in your work, in your brushing of your teeth. I want you to put God first in every area of your life. Because he can't be second. I've talked to a lot of people about this, and the number one reason they tell me they don't tithe is they say, I can't afford it. So let me tell you something in love, as you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You will never ever be able to afford to tithe until you start to. That's kind of backwards, but it's not. It's returning things back to normal. Because according to the Bible, tithing is what breaks the curse. Otherwise, every time you start to get ahead, something else will break. Like having holes in your pockets. So if you don't give your first fruits to God, if your firstborn hasn't been sacrificed or dedicated, it's time. God gave his first and best us. Let us give our first and best to him. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you. Thank you that we have all been redeemed from being slaves to sin by your mighty hand. And everything that we have, it comes from you. So, Jesus, Lord, I pray that we will all put you first in every area of your life, including our finances. In Jesus' name. I have a receipt here from a man who is responding in obedience. you saw him walk out. So,
I apologize for interrupting you.
I understand your heart. If we're talking about heart issues, right, this little piece of paper doesn't mean anything. The amount of money is not the important part of this. It's your heart. Here is a man, if you haven't met him, go shake his hand, because he has blessed this family. Tim came up and said, this month, this week, we are short $2,000. And he generously gave an offering of $2,000. So, I don't say this to pressure the rest of you. Please don't take it as that. I just want to declare a testimony of God's provision. It's often through his people when we hear him and we listen to him. And the truth is, when we understand the principle of first, that God is first, that he's first in my heart, it shows when it's first in our treasures, in our economy, in our worldview. So, Silas, I honor you for responding to the Holy Spirit. I know you, not super well, but well enough to know where your heart is. So the rest of you, encourage him. He responded to God in obedience. That's exciting.
That's what God told him.
Thank you. Thank you. So my prayer for the rest of you, for all of you, including you, is not for the finances, but for your worldview, for your heart, to have God first. So, with that, today there's no altar call. I'm not asking you to come to the front and it's not involved and bring some tears to this. I am asking for you to respond in obedience. Again, finances are not what we're talking about, it's your heart. Will you put Jesus first? Will you put him first? Take that home and do what our last closing verse says, share it with all of the wonderful people in your family. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen.